This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news. An anti-Trump judge was the one who executed the search warrant on Mar-a-Lago.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. This is this goes into the land of you can't make this stuff up. So the U.S. Magistrate, Bruce Reinhart, who issued or executed, signed the search warrant for Mar-a-Lago on the former president's property, actually recused himself from a previous case involving Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. I've got a copy of the notice of recusal. I'm putting it on the stand. I feel like I'm doing a cross-examination. I'm putting it on the screen. The undersigned magistrate judge to whom the above style case has been assigned hereby recuses himself and refers the case to the clerk of the court for reassignment pursuant to 28 U.S.C. 455. So look up 28 U.S.C. 455, Andy, and what do we find? What's the basis upon which this judge who signed a warrant to search Donald Trump's residence recused himself from a civil case just a couple of years ago?
Months.
Yeah, oh yeah. In June of 2022, you're right, a couple months ago. The case had been around for a couple of years,
yes.
but the judicial proceedings starting. And you ask yourself, what's the basis that he used for recusal? He cites the code section,
which says any justice, judge, or magistrate judge of the United States, this is what he is, shall disqualify himself in any proceeding in which his impartiality might reasonably be questioned, where he might have a personal bias or prejudice concerning a party.
Yeah.
And clearly, he admitted in his notice of recusal that he did. In Trump versus Hillary Clinton, in a case pending in the Southern District of Florida, and said, I'm out of it, assign another magistrate judge to it. This was in June of 22. In August of 22, he signs a search warrant for Mar-a-Lago.
This goes into the category, you can't make this up. Now, the judge posted, do we have the post, the Facebook posting? Can we put it up on the screen? So this is what the judge posts on his Facebook page in 2017. This was a little bit before he was appointed a magistrate judge. He says, I generally ignore President-elect's tweets, but not this one. Then it talks about John Lewis. And at the end of it, he says, I want to avoid getting too caught. Or as John Wells said to Joseph McCarthy, at long last, have you left no sense of decency, which is the quote from Welch to McCarthy. You have no sense of decency. And he was talking about Trump. Now, whether you agreed with what Trump was saying at that time or not, this is the judge that executed the warrant, signed the warrant on Donald Trump's residence. He recuses himself in June of 2022, and he executes the warrant, signs it as the magistrate judge, 3 days ago.
Two months ago is what we're talking about here in June of 2022. I'm sure a lot of you have a lot to say about this. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. It will be a pretty interesting show today. We're going to be joined by a lot of guests. Obviously, we have Andy here in the studio, but we'll have Rick Grinnell on in a segment coming up. We'll also have on Jimmy Patronis, who's the CFO of Florida. Obviously, this happened in his home state, and that will be pretty interesting. You'll hear from him. And also, wrapping up the show will be Tulsi Gabbard. So it's going to be an intense and very interesting show. So if you have a question or comment, now is the time to do that. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
You know, I've got a lot of experience, actually, with recusals, because I had a case that went to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals on the issue of a recusal of a judge on a pro-life case in Wichita, Kansas in the 90s. So I know the law of recusal. And what shocks me here, and it is, to me, shocking, is that this judge recused himself, properly so, Andy, from the proceedings just a couple months ago, but then had the nerve to sign a search warrant based on FBI affidavits. Think about that for a moment as we go to break. And you call us if you're concerned about this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. This is why you support the work of the ACLJ. We get behind the headline and give you the analysis that matters. We're in a matching challenge campaign, aclj.org. podcast, everyone. We got, this is unbelievable breaking news. I think I need to reset the whole program here until you understand what this is. So as happens, once the raid of somebody's house, or they like to say, if once there has been a search warrant executed, is what they said, you start finding out things. One of the things is we found out the magistrate judge was Bruce Reinhart. Judge Reinhart recused himself. I'm going to put the order on the screen there for you, for our TV audiences, people watching our social media platforms. Here's what he said. He said the undersigned magistrate to whom the above-styled cause had been assigned, this was a case Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton and the DNC and others, hereby recuses himself and refers the case to the clerk of the court for reassignment pursuant to 28 U.S.C. Section 455. And this is dated at West Palm Beach, Florida, the 22nd day of June, 2022, this year. He also had posted, let's put this on the screen, from Facebook, a negative statement regarding President Trump. He said, at long last, have you left no sense of decency? Now, that was in reference to a statement that Donald Trump made. Again, I'm not getting into the merits of the statement. I'm just saying, okay, the judge wisely recused himself. When this proceeding with Hillary Clinton was sent before him, he recused himself. But then he executes, as the judge, a search warrant of Donald Trump's principal residence. So I want you to think about this for a minute. He goes ahead and recuses himself, Andy, from a civil case, but on a criminal matter involving the former president of the United States, he signs the warrant.
This is unbelievable. I'm aghast. I'm aghast at this. I've practiced law 47 years, most of which has been as a state or federal prosecutor. And when a magistrate judge says, I am too biased to proceed as a magistrate judge in a civil case involving Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and therefore I recuse myself, I get out of the case, and then 2 months later, the FBI comes to him and says, execute, please, judge, a search warrant on Mar-a-Lago, the former president's residence, even though you have said in social media, quote, Donald Trump doesn't have the moral stature to kiss John Lewis's feet. You said that. And that is what we call in the law an a fortiori a stronger case. If you can't be a judge in a civil case, you surely can't sign a criminal arrest search warrant. Almost slipped there. For his house in a criminal case.
But, you know, this judge had to have known that this kind of blowback was coming. Because clearly 2 months ago, he said to himself, I can't be impartial. Maybe did the right thing.
Did the right thing.
So what could have possibly changed? Not to be a conspiracy theorist here, but what could have possibly changed in 2 months to make him go, but this one I'm going to do, knowing it will be public, knowing that you're going to get blowback from probably both sides now because you publicly made these statements. You've publicly recused yourself saying, I'm too biased to be able to do this. But for this one, maybe the most egregious of all, sign off on it. It's fine. I mean, this could kill your career.
Well, it should. First of all, I'd go in and challenge the. Here's what I would do. I'd immediately challenge the search warrant. Immediately. And then I would argue that the documents that were taken or whatever else they took under the doctrine of the fruit of the poisonous tree, under those series of cases, I would then argue that, I'm sorry, all of that evidence has to be suppressed because it was the fruit of a poisonous tree. You didn't have the authority to do this in the first place. That's number one. Number two. I would also, and I think this is where it comes in, and Logan, you're right. He had to know this was coming. But, you know, this reminds me of the Mueller stuff with Peter Strzok and Bruce Orr. You cannot make this stuff up, but they consistently do it. So you wonder why people don't trust the FBI? You wonder why people don't trust the Treasury Department, which is advertising today that they need new special agents for the IRS, but you have to be willing to... what was the exact phrase they used, Will?
Use deadly force.
This is payers' money is going to. And then this judge recused himself in a civil case, but then signed a criminal search warrant. There is no justification for this. But why do they do this? It's like you said, Logan, they had to know the blowback was going to be used. Let's go ahead. We're taking your calls on this, by the way. You get your reaction, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, we'll go to Edna, who's calling in Texas on line one. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, Edna.
Thanks for taking my call. I have probably a dumb or simple question.
Sure.
did the judge have to, on the case in June, say which party he ha- I mean, we clearly know which party he has a prejudice towards. Did he have to state which one he had a prejudice towards?
No, he just has to cite the code section, which he did, 28 U.S.C. 455, which we said it's when you have your impartiality might be questioned, which clearly it he thought it would be. We have the Facebook post from him criticizing then-candidate Donald Trump, saying, at long last, have you left no sense of decency? The famous Welch to McCarthy comment. So you have all of that. And then the judge, instead of saying you have to go to another magistrate for this, Andy, which would be the protocol, he willingly signed. I put him under oath. I want to know what he was thinking. I'd like to know, Your Honor, here's what I'd like to know. You recused yourself from a civil case 7 weeks before this. And then you signed a search warrant on the former president's house. Now, if the Democrats are trying to make Donald Trump the nominee for the Republican Party, they're doing a really good job.
Yeah, and to clarify, he actually was president-elect. This was 2 days before the inauguration.
Exactly.
So just to clarify, he wasn't just running. This was already, this was a done deal.
Yeah, he wasn't sworn in yet, but he was the president-elect of the United States. Bruce Reinhart did not think he was going to become probably a magistrate at that point.
Probably not. He was appointed in 2018. No, I don't remember when he was appointed. I think he was appointed a magistrate in 2018.
I believe that's right.
But the point of the matter is that this is unheard of to me. When I heard about this and I saw the recusal order and then I see him signing a search warrant to execute on Donald Trump's private residence, and he says, I have impartiality that might question my judgment in a civil case, but it's okay in a criminal case. I have no problem going and having a squad of FBI agents go through Mar-a-Lago, you know, and every nook and cranny and corner. I can't understand it. I can't believe it. It's very hard to swallow this, Jay.
But we've seen these people show up, and a lot of times it's they're looking for their 15 minutes of fame. And it may be what's happening with this judge is that he wants to be the hero in this story. This is what happens with Democrats. They become the hero by violating their own law and violating their own conscience.
But they set themselves up.
Guess what? A book deal could come. Something could happen. All of a sudden, they're commentating on MSNBC, and this guy we've never heard of is all of a sudden a household name.
Yeah, well,
I really do think that is a big part of this right now, which is you get to become these little media heroes for a moment. It happened during the committees the last few months. It's happened so many times with random people who barely had any connection other than other than being one way or the other. All of a sudden become these commonly known, everyone hears them, they show up on Saturday Night Live, they become these characters within this whole political narrative. And that's my only way to look at this and say, that's what this guy was doing. Because why else would he do it unless he was looking for his 15 minutes? Because he could blow his whole career over it.
Look, I had a major case involving recusal. Okay, against a sitting federal court judge. Can we play a little bit of that, Will? Do we have the ability, or are we going to play it when are we playing it next? Next segment? In the break, we're going to play this.
Yeah, if you're watching.
Let me explain it for those that aren't. So we had a judge, and it was a pro-life protest case, and it was a huge case called the Summer of Mercy, Wichita, Kansas. But the judge went on TV while I was on TV and says, I can't get this lawyer to turn around and tell his client to stop violating the law. Now, my ethical obligation is to tell my client what the consequences are of violating a court order, which I did, and that we would recommend you not violate a court order. Then they made their decision. But then he went on television with me. So you know what I filed the next day? A motion to recuse the judge. He denied it. I took it to the 10th Circuit, which is in the same building right upstairs, and ultimately they granted it. So I know a little bit about recusal, and there is no doubt that Judge Reinhart was correct when he recused himself from the Trump v. Clinton matter. But let me tell you where he made a gargantuan, giant mistake. When he signed the search warrant for Donald Trump property in Florida. The mistake was if you recused yourself in June of 2022, 8 weeks ago, not even, 6 weeks ago, because it was June 22nd. What in the world were you thinking, like Logan said, when you signed a search warrant for that same individual's property? You don't think your bias is now... He cited the section that says impartiality. I mean, this is Andy, this is really... This is third world country. makes it like a kangaroo court.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm in the United States judicial system. That's the system that is supposed to protect us from the government. Most of all, the cleanliness, the purity of the federal judiciary has been bespotted by this action. And Jay, something that I think is very important that you pointed out, I wonder now how good that evidence that was taken from Mar-a-Lago is. And if I was in a proceeding representing the president, I would move to suppress every bit of that on the basis that it is the fruit of, and the warrant too, and that it was the fruit of the poisonous tree under Wong Sung.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so here's, folks, what we want you to do. Go ahead, and if you're listening to us on social media applications, and we're on Rumble, of course, Facebook, YouTube, share it with your friends. We got a lot more coming up. And coming up in the next segment, we're going to get into this with our senior advisor on national intelligence.
Yeah, Rick Grinnell. Rick Grinnell will be joining us in the next segment.
He's not happy about this.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are joined now by Rick Grinnell, senior advisor for national security here at the ACLJ and foreign policy to discuss, I don't know, some things that are happening right now, Dad.
Yeah. So, Rick, I've been... for the last 20 minutes, because I had one of the major cases on judicial recusal in the country back in the 19... Most people won't remember this because they were very, very young. But during the Operation Rescue days...
Early
90s, late 80s,
yeah.
Where the judge was saying the clients were going to be found guilty. We hadn't even had a hearing yet. And then he shows up on Nightline while I'm arguing and the case, and I'm the other guest on Nightline. But I got him recused. I went to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, got him recused. This judge... And this is what's unbelievable to me, Rick. This judge recuses himself from the Trump versus Clinton matter 6 weeks ago, but then signs and saying it's because his impartiality could be questioned. That's the code section he cited. But yet signs a search warrant 6 weeks later on the property owned by the very same person, his partiality, he acknowledged himself would be questioned.
On an issue, Jay, let's be very clear, on an issue that was very similar to Hillary Clinton in terms of, you know, classified information. Look, I've said this before. I think it's worth repeating. But Hillary Clinton's excuse is that she didn't really know that she had classified information and she blamed Jake Sullivan for sending it to her. And Jake Sullivan didn't get raided. Hillary Clinton didn't get raided. Jake Sullivan actually got a promotion to be national security advisor. This thing stinks, and it's outrageous that what they're doing to Donald Trump, and we have to say it, if they can do this to Donald Trump, they can do this to any American, and that's what they want, political prosecutions.
You know, Rick, I'll tell you where I'm really incensed on this, as you can tell, and that is because the bastion of liberty has to be the judicial branch. I mean, it should be all branches of government, but that's like the last resort, right? And the problem here is this judge acknowledged the violation of the perceived impartiality would be a significant enough issue that he invoked on his own in the Trump v. Clinton matter. And as you said, you're talking about similar kind of facts, 28 U.S. Code Section 455. And that code section says any judge of the United States shall disqualify himself in any proceeding which his impartiality might be reasonably questioned. So he acknowledges that in a civil case, yet in a criminal matter, with a search warrant, the same judge who 6 weeks ago said he couldn't be impartial and challenged Donald Trump on Facebook 2-3 years ago, now signs a search warrant. And I keep almost slipping like you to saying arrest warrant. Could you imagine if this judge executed arrest warrants for people involved in this? Oh, and he just happened to be, so lack of impartiality that he'd recuse himself from another case involving the same parties. I mean, this is what I don't believe arrest warrants are coming, but I do believe this, that I would immediately go into court. I would squash this warrant. I would suppress the evidence. I would move to suppress the evidence on a motion to suppress that evidence, Andy. And then I would say that the evidence can't be used. Now, having said all of that, I think this is just the beginning of what we're seeing, Rick. The political environment there, they upped the ante on this thing, the Department of Justice, so significantly. Did they not think there was going to be repercussions? And as Logan said earlier, did this judge not think this stuff was going to come out?
Well, you know, shame on our media for once again not highlighting this. This is obviously something that should have been known immediately. And maybe if there was a little more pressure on him or a little more attention on the fact that he's already recused himself even before this, that he would have had the public pressure that he needs to recuse himself again. But shame on the media. And again, I'll say thank God for ACLJ. We're finding these types of recusals, this important information, we're out front and we are able to highlight it. But I do think that every single reporter in Washington, D.C. should know about this. I didn't even know about this until this morning. And I'm somebody who gobbles up news constantly, but this is unacceptable. And I'll finish with this, is that if you're listening to us, you got to get out and vote. No more excuses. I mean, the fact that we don't have people voting as our country is slipping away, as political prosecutions grow, as 87,000 IRS employees are hired to go after us, this is getting crazy.
So in that IRS hiring, this is where you can't make this stuff up. So 87,000 new IRS agents, nothing but trouble. An institution that's incapable of self-correcting, and I worked for Treasury when I was out of law school, but it was a long time ago and it was a very different agency. Now, to make that matter worse, they're now advertising for special agents. That's the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS. But one of the qualifications are duties to be expected, and I'm going to have Will read it exactly as they have it in their publication. This is exactly what they're saying.
Major duties: carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary.
On a criminal tax case. Okay. I mean, think about that one, folks, for a moment. On a criminal tax case, Andy, be prepared to use, as a qualification, be prepared to use deadly force.
It's beyond belief. We're not talking about ATF. We're not talking about
FBI
or the Bureau of the Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, or the old DEA, what is known as DEA, in which you're facing the possibility of gangs and drugs. We're talking about somebody who you alleged not to have properly reported his or her income, and you're going to be willing to use, you got to be willing to use deadly force and carry a gun.
Yeah, this is, so Rick, we've now gone to the land of the absurd. I bring this, it was like all the FBI conflicts with the, during the Mueller probe. I mean, I feel like I'm reliving history here, that I'm going through this again, but it's almost worse because now you got a judge involved. I mean, bad enough it was the FBI agents and Bob Mueller and his team doing double deals and erasing their own evidence. But this is worse. This is a judge involved in this.
Put aside the idea that the federal government is now arming accountants.
You're right.
While ignoring school administrators being armed while they're trying to protect our kids in public schools. Put aside that and just realize that what Washington, D.C. and the left is doing is literally arming, equipping and weaponizing government agencies. Government is becoming so big and crushing and controlling that they want to literally take your entire life and control it. And we've got to fight back. I mean, I'm starting to blame weak-kneed Republicans for not seeing the growing signs and saying enough is enough. We're going to vote. We're going to get involved. You can't expect somebody else to do something. You've got to do something. This is out of control, and this is a crisis. Red alert.
Yeah, no, it is red alert, and I'll tell you something. I am. When you have judges starting to act like this, that is a danger sign for your constitutional republic, folks. Rick Rennell, thanks for being with us. And again, this is we're on unprecedented times here, Rick. Last comment. I mean, how does this play out politically, do you think? Just really quickly. Go ahead.
Let's leave people with some good news. Yes. What can they do? How can they get involved? And I would just say, support ACLJ, speak up, maybe run for school board, maybe write a bigger check to places like ACLJ or local politicians, but get involved. You have a voice and you have to step up at this point.
I appreciate it, Rick. And folks, Rick's right. We're in a matching challenge campaign, and look at the analysis. We've got people like Rick and Nell on our team. And look at the analysis we're able to give you here. Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney. I mean, this is, folks, this is analysis you're not getting anywhere. And like I said, on the recusal issue, I had probably one of the biggest recusal cases in the country. So support the work of the ACLJ. Logan will let you know how to do it. We'll be back with more in a moment.
That's right. You can support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. It's very simple. Just go there, ACLJ.org, where you click here to donate, and every donation is matched as we're in a matching challenge here in the month of August. Second half hour coming up. Special guests Jimmy Patronis and Tulsi Gabbard. Be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. And if you're just joining us, I want to update you on this. So the search warrant that was executed by the FBI and signed by a magistrate judge, Judge Reinhart in Florida, U.S. District Magistrate Judge, and that is what these magistrate judges do. This was for the search warrant. He recused himself in a case back on June 22nd of 2022, just a couple weeks ago, involving President Trump and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. So you got former President of the United States suing a former Secretary of State. He gets the case. He recuses himself because he cites a code section that talks about lack of impartiality. The same judge, and this is what folks you got to understand, the same judge that recused himself in a civil case 6 weeks ago, not even, executes and signs a search warrant on Donald Trump's property, home. So let me tell you, you know, this is unprecedented, outrageous. This judge needs to be recused again. Motions need to be filed. They need to suppress that evidence. This is absurd that this judge would do it. CeCe Hiles, senior counsel for the ACLJ. We were going to talk about some of our other cases. I want to stay on this topic because, you know, CeCe, you've been practicing law a long time too. I handled one of the most contentious cases involving recusal in the country for the pro-life movement back in the late 80s, early 90s. This one is right up there with it, maybe greater of a threat to democracy.
And when you have a judge that recuses himself in a civil case because he is admitting that he cannot make an impartial decision, that he is biased, and then to turn around just a couple months later, like you said, I think 6 weeks later, and then issuing and signing a criminal warrant, that just blows my mind because you can't say, well, in those 6 weeks, I'm not biased anymore. It's ridiculous. You're probably even more biased.
Logan, let's take the caller. Call Fred on line one.
Yep, Fred in Tennessee, line one. You are on the air.
Hi, Fred. Go ahead. All right, he's not there. Andy, I want to follow up on this. If you are recusing yourself from a civil case, how do you not recuse yourself from a search warrant in a criminal matter?
Well, you don't. If you're recused because one of the parties or the parties or you yourself have an impartial mindset, then you're recused from dealing with that person in all manner of cases, civil or criminal. Look, what happened was simply this. There's a civil case. Trump sues Clinton. He says, I can't be a part of this. I got to recuse myself because I am not impartial.
Because I made statements on social media against the then president-elect, Donald Trump.
I said things about him in those statements. Now, the FBI comes to me 6 weeks later and says, Judge, I want you to sign a search warrant for Mar-a-Lago. You should have said, wait a minute. Just 6 weeks ago, I recused myself from dealing with Donald Trump because I can't be impartial. Take this to another magistrate judge. I don't want to hear any evidence.
The defense, there's no defense lawyers in these proceedings, by the way, when they go get these warrants. So the judge, CeCe, had to do this on his own. And here, it's not like the judge said, oh, I forgot about that impartiality issue that I just signed on June 22nd, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. I forgot about that? No. He didn't forget about it, but this is a criminal matter, and he doesn't recuse himself.
Right, and you know, my gut reaction would be that's exactly why they went to this magistrate, is because they knew he would sign it, because they knew he has a bias against President Trump. He said it publicly. He's recused himself in a civil case publicly and then signs a criminal warrant 6 weeks later. He should have recused himself. It seems like they went to him specifically because they knew he would do it.
That's a very interesting point. Here's the question. The question would be, do you file a motion to suppress the evidence? Yes. Do you file a motion to quash that search warrant? Yes. Do you say that the evidence taken cannot be used, fruit of the poisonous tree? Yes. All of that has to happen. Like I said, I'm a little bit of an expert on recusal motions. I had a big case involving recusals, folks. This is a huge development. We've got a lot of guests coming up, too.
We do. Coming up in the next segment, CFO of Florida, Jimmy Patronis, followed by Tulsi Gabbard later in the broadcast. So you don't want to miss that. And that's coming up in just a couple minutes. If you're watching on social media, very short break. And then we'll be right back with the CFO of Florida, Jimmy Patronis. Secular, continuing this show, a lot of great guests, and we're joined now by Jimmy Patronis, who is the CFO of the state of Florida. Obviously, there's some news coming out of Florida, Dad. It's something that's been breaking the last few days, and we thought it'd be great to have someone who represents the state of Florida on.
Well, you know, Jimmy Patronis and the Patronis family have been in Florida a long, long time. And Jimmy, first of all, it's great having you on here, and thanks for making time. I just want to start. I've got a lot of questions to ask you, because in your position as CFO, you handle a lot of the financial stuff, and I want to get into this IRS situation in a moment. But I want to start with this raid that took place in your state. And now we know that the judge that signed the search warrant recused himself from a civil case involving former President Trump and former Secretary of State Clinton, but he didn't then recuse himself from a criminal search warrant. And this is mind-boggling. And you've been very strong on this. Give me your reaction when you first heard this.
I'm so glad you're talking about this. When I first saw this, and what, guys, thank y'all for having me.
Sure.
But when I first saw this document, I said, you got to be kidding me. This has got to be some type of a, you know, hoax on social media. And as I started to see more and more of the facts come out about this, I mean, this is incredibly troubling. I mean, this is the same Department of Justice dealing with the same judge who recused himself when Trump was going to sue Hillary Clinton, but now it's perfectly okay for him to sign the search warrant to go in the dark of morning to go raid the former president's residence.
Yeah, I mean, if you're recusing yourself in a civil case, and as I said to our audience, he cited in his order 28 U.S.C. 455, Andy, which is the impartiality section, right?
That is correct. That is the section that says that a magistrate that might be impartial or impartiality might be questioned shall disqualify himself.
And he did. Jimmy, he did disqualify himself. Right. Yeah, no question. He did it. He disqualified himself. The right thing to do. What was he thinking that 6 weeks later I could sign a search warrant on the same party that I just said I couldn't be impartial to? This is what's so outrageous. But you sent out a great tweet. It said, this administration has lost its mind. It's corrupt. It's political. Only in a dictatorship do they use the power of government to eliminate their enemies. And before we get into the IRS thing, I just want to stick on this for another moment, Jimmy. And that is this. You're right. I said this to in our previous segment to Rick Rennell. This idea that a federal judge now has shown his bias when he knew he could not be impartial and signs a search warrant in a criminal case, recuses himself from a civil case, puts the entire judicial branch of our government, kind of the guardian rail here of a constitutional republic, in jeopardy. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I look at, you know, Chuck Schumer's own words when he was on Maddow. He says, if you take on the intelligence community, they've got six ways from Sunday to get you back. So, I mean, so they went and found a friendly judge who already had a sympathy towards the Democrats or Obama, writing thousands of dollars in campaign contributions. It just never stopped. So they handpicked who they went to get this search warrant. There's no two ways about it.
Well, you know, they certainly went to the Southern District of Florida where it was. And you know, CeCe, you brought that up. And I don't know the procedure on how they get them. Right. I do know this. This judge knew he shouldn't have done it.
Absolutely. And that's what makes it so suspect. It looks like they were hand shopping who they could get to sign this warrant, a criminal warrant. And it was the magistrate who had already said, I'm biased. I have a bias against President
Trump. It's not like, Jimmy, it's not like somebody's making a motion about, you know, you should maybe have to recuse yourself because you're impartial. He made this motion, what they call sui sponte, on his own. He said, I'm biased. I can't do it. I want to ask you this question, and I want to get into this IRS matter. And that is this. How important do you think it is right now for conservatives? I mean, I think we've reached a tipping point here. How important is it, do you think, for conservatives at this point to start pushing back on these abuses and calling it for what it is?
Well, part of me kind of feels like the Congress right now knows their days are numbered. There's going to be a revolution in the House of Representatives. Rick Scott is leading the effort to make the revolution a reality in the Senate. And I think they're trying to run the tables as much as they can while they have their razor-thin margin that they've got. So, you know, hopefully this empowers. We say we're going to get 40 members in the House. Hopefully this can get us to the point where we get 46 members, maybe 47 members, because this is an incredibly overreach of power against the citizens of the United States.
Jimmy, you are the chief financial officer for the state of Florida. You are, of course, a partner in your family's well-known business, Captain Anderson's, which has been around for a very long time, and I think it's the best seafood restaurant in the country, I will say that. But you also are responsible in your public life for the finances of the state of Florida. And we are now seeing you got this Inflation Reduction Act that the administration put forward, and then you have this funding within it of the IRS, who is an institution that I sued on behalf of conservative organizations because they were targeted by the IRS, that is institutionally incapable of correcting itself. You're a finance guy. I mean, you're a business guy. This IRS move and this move with the Inflation Reduction Act, I think, is another attack on civil liberties and doesn't also make financial sense.
Well, first off, whenever Congress names a bill, I think it usually does the opposite of whatever they say it's going to do. So you just reflect on the Affordable Care Act. There was nothing affordable about health care after that. So when you think of the Inflation Reduction Act, all this is going to do is add to the inflation crisis. We're going to add 87,000 new IRS agents to the job roles to go out there and harvest dollars from the citizens of the United States. And look, I fear they're going to target Florida. There's $23 billion in new wage growth that the state of Florida has gotten over the last year. California has lost $18 billion in the same period. So, look, Florida's prosperity has become the jealousy of the federal government. Ron DeSantis is living rent-free in Joe Biden's head. And I think this is all part of a big scheme to grow government while they have the ability to influence the agenda.
Yeah, I think you're right. And this is Logan Sekulow, by the way. Great to actually talk to you. I know we've conversed a few times on social media, but it's very interesting to see this coming. Specifically, you said Florida and how Florida has thrived and how you've seen so many people move to Florida. I'm a property owner in the state of Florida, proud property owner in the state of Florida. But you've also done some really interesting things, even for the support of Israel and things we've talked about with the scrutinized companies list. I think you've seen Florida move forward where actual people want to go, where they want to see, whether it's Ben and Jerry's or whoever it was a few weeks ago that you were dealing with, in seeing those kind of, you know, mainstream ideas that people want to, you know, the media wants to pretend don't exist. But the state of Florida has proven now that this is really the mainstream.
Well, I like being held accountable. And it's in the restaurant business. My attitude's always been is you take care of the customer or another restaurant will. And my attitude in Tallahassee has always been is we're going to take care of our constituents or I'm going to find somebody else that will. So we have very little patience for giving citizens of the state of Florida the runaround. We work very hard to give them a responsible need to their services. So, I mean, I'm very proud of the job we do in Florida, very proud of Governor DeSantis. I'm very proud of our Republican members of Congress and the fights they're keeping up with right now. And I'm looking forward to the bright new day in November.
Jimmy, I want to underscore a word you said, and that is fight. I mean, look, I deal with, as people know, I deal with the courts. I represented President Trump in some of the most contentious matters in our nation's history. And then to have this happen is so incredible. And I just want, what are you hearing from your constituents in the state of Florida? This, because my phone is exploding. I can't imagine that yours is anything less than that.
I was at a large group dinner last night, and that's all everybody was talking about was the outrage of how our federal government has crossed the line. And all they look is the hypocrisy that has existed in the decision making in these administrations. And look, I think that they're an axe to grind with people, the Department of Justice, towards Trump, maybe, but Trump kept calling them out for their hypocrisy.
You're exactly right.
I mean, the agenda is politically motivated. 51% of general folks polled said this is politically motivated by Trump's opponents. But the beautiful thing is 81% of Republicans said this charges them up more to go vote this November, which I'm very, you know, unfortunately, maybe this needed to happen to be able to get the extra, maybe even a supermajority in Congress.
Absolutely right. Jimmy Petronis, Chief Financial Officer of Florida. Thanks for being on. We look forward to having you back. Great insight. Thanks for being with us.
Come and eat with us. I appreciate it.
We'll do that. You can rest assured on that. Let's take Glenn's call really quick, Logan.
All right, let's go to Glenn in Arizona on line four. You're on the air.
Glenn, go ahead real quick.
Quickly, you're running out of time.
Yes, sir. So the question I had, I need your insight. Was the Secret Service notified by the FBI? Because we know this government has a pattern of colluding.
So the reports are that they only received notice 45 minutes before. And their job is to protect the protectee, the president, and his property because from potential threats. So 45 minutes before is what we heard. But technically, they didn't have to get any advance notice, right?
No, they can go there, take their warrant, and then show the warrant to whomever, and then just go ahead and execute it. They didn't have to give notice to anybody. No lawyers had the right to be there. Nobody had the right to question it. The magistrate said, go to it. They could have.
This judge had no excuse to not recuse himself, CeCe. None.
Absolutely not. He's biased. He himself admitted it. So he should have been recused on this one as well.
All right, and coming up in the next segment to wrap up the show, we have Tulsi Gabbard. I'm sure she's got a lot to say about all of this. So we're going to have that discussion coming up. If you do have a last-second call, you can try getting through 1-800-684-3110 and support the work of the ACLJ during this matching challenge at aclj.org. Make sure you follow all of us on social media. But again, when we come back, we'll be joined by Tulsi Gabbard on Secular. Secular to wrap up today's jam-packed show. We are joined by former Congresswoman from Hawaii, Tulsi Gabbard, who I know you all know, and you've seen her on a lot of our content before. Last year was in our documentary series, Revenge of the Taliban, that I hosted, and it has been about a year since then, and Dad, it hasn't slowed down.
No, it sure hasn't, and I am thrilled to have Tulsi back on with us. And Tulsi, I've known you for a long time. I knew you in Congress. I knew you before Congress and your activities and your family's work in Hawaii. But I got to start with what is, to me, mind-numbing, that we now have learned that the judge that issued the search warrant, signed the search warrant at the former president's home, recused himself from a civil matter involving a lawsuit with Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, because as he acknowledged, this came out on his own motion, that he was not capable of being impartial.
6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago.
8 weeks ago.
And then 6 weeks later, after he recuses himself from a civil case, he has no problem signing a search warrant in a criminal matter against the same parties.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. That's a clear conflict of interest and just further goes to the root of the problem of what we're seeing with all of this. You know, so many people in this country have lost faith and trust in these systems, in the Department of Justice, these institutions that literally exist to serve the American people, and just the level of corruption, the increasing weaponization of, you know, whether it's Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, the IRS, to go after political opponents in broad daylight is just shocking and incredibly dangerous.
And then on top of this, and you tweeted about this, you said our democracy is in grave danger, government institutions, and you say DOJ, Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, the IRS, are blatantly being weaponized. Now, literally, they are blatantly being weaponized. So, and I think this is important for people to understand in our audience, but Tulsi, you've talked about this, and you were concerned about this when you're Congress. The Congress has passed legislation that adds 87,000 IRS agents to the IRS, an institution that I sued on behalf of conservative organizations who were being unlawfully and illegally targeted by the IRS, and a court agreed with us, and the agency was forced to change its ways. Now, that was the whole Lois Lerner matter. We now put it on fast forward. They're basically doubling the number of agents, and then they said, and I want to get the language exactly right because I want the congresswoman to respond to this, that a major duty of the special agents now, and this is in their publication, Tulsi, is to carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary. That's as part of their job responsibilities for a criminal tax case, which is what they would be involved in. So this is why the American people are really getting nervous.
Absolutely. This is government out of control. And again, when you look at it on its face, you got to wonder, like, well, why does the IRS need armed agents to conduct their business? We have many other federal law enforcement agencies who are trained and capable of being able to go after criminals, period. The IRS isn't even doing a very good job at their most basic responsibility. Why they're trying to get into, or why they are deeply into this law enforcement function should be concerning. But then you take it to the next step, and then you look at, as you mentioned, how this entity, the IRS, is going after political opponents, and then you add the force of the gun behind that. This is not, and this is why I said in my tweet, democracy is in grave danger, because this sort of thing is what we expect to see from, you know, authoritarian governments, dictatorships who openly turn these entities into their goon squad, their mercenaries, to go after people who dare to dissent, people who dare to challenge them. And how we are seeing this now happening before our very eyes in the United States of America, which is celebrated, you know, around the world as this example of democracy. Well, it's not. It's not.
So, you know, I always like to give people hope, too. And that is, we do live in the greatest country in the world. But our constitutional republic, as Tulsi just said, is in danger. I want to ask you about this, because when you see this happening, it's so obviously political. And you had a very interesting tweet that you said, regardless of how you feel about former President Trump, this FBI raid throws fuel on the fire of distrust. And of course, that's a dangerous precedent. I think we've reached a point, Tulsi, where the distrust level is palpable. And then this judge adds more fuel to that fire. The judge that recuses himself in a civil case involving Trump and then signs a search warrant in a criminal case just adds to this. But how do we restore hope for the American people?
And you're right. You know, there is hope. And the hope lies in the hands of the American people. We cannot live in a fantasy that somehow these corrupt politicians are going to police themselves or willingly give up their power. They won't. That's been proven time and time again. So it's in our hands. And we talk about democracy and how we have to exercise our voices in throwing out these leaders who are corrupt, using our voices, exercising our rights to free speech, our right to peacefully protest, and don't let them off the hook. We have to continue to hold them accountable. You and your team do such tremendous work throughout the legal system in making that happen through your show and in other means. Every one of us has to do our part if we hope to make things better. It's something I experienced when I was running for president. As I was traveling around the country, I met great Americans every single day from across the political spectrum who love America and who want us to see a brighter future. We have to stand together now, all of us. We have to stand together and make that happen.
We appreciate it. Former member of Congress, Tulsi Gabbard, a brilliant analysis, and also did a tremendous service to our country. And you continue to do that in the military, which we appreciate. Thanks for being with us, as always. It was good talking to you.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you. Have a great day.
You too. All right. So, Andy, as we wrap this up, and Cece, let's just put this in context. If you're joining this program late, we have an unprecedented move here. A sitting magistrate who recused himself from a civil suit involving Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton because, as he said on his own, he filed a notice of recusal because he cited the statute, Andy, on lack of impartiality. He then signs a criminal search warrant in a criminal case involving one of those parties, Donald Trump.
Absolutely should never have done so. If you can't touch a civil case, you surely can't touch a criminal case.
And see, this judge, as you said, he had to know, and Logan said this, they had to know this was coming out.
Absolutely. And the point of the matter is he himself admitted his bias. He did. He was the one that said, I can't rule in this civil case because I'm biased against President Trump. But 6 weeks later, his bias did not just disappear in 6 weeks. It's probably gotten even worse. And he's willing to sign this warrant. And it's ridiculous. In a criminal case, it is absolutely, it should not have happened.
I mean, if you can't do it in a civil case, and he did it, acknowledge that he shouldn't be doing it, you certainly can't do it in a criminal matter. Folks, you've heard a lot of people talk about the work of the ACLJ today. We're able to give you this analysis. You see us on the camera. But there are a lot of people behind the scenes putting this hour together every day, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. We want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We're in our about first 10 days of our matching challenge here. Support the work. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're going to get a matching gift where I encourage people, Logan, to do it. You can tell them how.
That's right. You can do it right now at ACLJ.org. It's a matching challenge, means all donations are effectively doubled. It's pretty simple to donate also. It's just a quick little form. Put in your information, your payment information. Goes right to us. We really appreciate that. That's at ACLJ.org. You can also download the ACLJ app where you can sign petitions and get involved that way as well. Make sure you're following us on all social media platforms, whether that is on Truth, whether that's on YouTube, whether it's on Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. We're all there. That's at ACLJ. We'll be back tomorrow.